April 10th, 1912. April 10th is a special day. If you ask my sister, she thinks it's special because that's her birthday. She's much older than me. No, not really. She's, what, 2 years older than me? 3 years older than me. 3 years older than me. She got the brains, I got the looks. April 10th, 1912. Most of us don't know what happened on that date, do we? April the 10th, 1912 was one of the greatest, marvels in all of the world occurred. And it occurred not here in America, but it actually occurred in Southampton in the UK, in England, the United Kingdom. And the great miracle, the great marvel left the United Kingdom en route to New York Harbor here in America. The great marvel was 900 feet long and weighed 52,000 tons. The great marvel was known as the RMS Titanic. Most of you heard of the Titanic, haven't you? If you go to Pigeon Forge, they got that fake one, right? As you go into town and you can, about $35, you can go in and tour. It's actually very interesting. There was 2,224 people or souls on board the Titanic when it left Southampton. Of those 224,000 people, many of them were the wealthiest and most prosperous people in the world. There were people that had their lives all together. People that had done very well for themselves. They were prepared to bask in all the lavish pleasures of that fine ship, all of the tremendous food, the fine dining, and all the amenities that the quote-unquote unsinkable ship would offer for the next 5 days. They were going to have the time of their life. But then on the fourth day into the trip, on April the 14th, in the evening hour, about 11:40, the unthinkable happened. The pleasurable bliss turned into horrific tragedy. That mighty vessel, the Titanic, would collide with an iceberg that was multiple times larger than it was itself. The ship cracked. It gradually filled with water. And then 2 hours later, the early morning hours of April 15th, the Titanic would break in two. There were still 1,500 people on board. And it sank to the depth of 12,500 feet, which is more than 2 miles into the ocean. In water that was 28 degrees, had it not been salt water, much of it would have been frozen. I said all of that in this brief account of this tragedy to give you a backdrop of what happened. There's hundreds of museums, there's movies, there's plays, everything all around the world still today, just like the one in Pigeon Forge, that commemorate or raise awareness of what happened to the unsinkable Titanic. But how could something like that occur? How could that happen? What caused it? And, you know, the question, could it have been prevented? Those are questions that probably will never be precisely answered, or maybe there's not a single answer, but there's a lot of speculations of what may have happened or what possibly could have been done to eliminated or avoided the tragedy that we talk about in the sinking of the Titanic. One prominent theory two prominent scientists arrived at a very prominent theory when they discovered in their research that there was a compromise in materials used in building the RMS Titanic. It wasn't the plates of steel, but it was a very small part. The Titanic was one of three major ships that was being built simultaneously in the shipyards. The other two ships were the Olympic and the Britannic. And in the hurry and the rush, there was a competition that had ensued, if you would. But each of these ships, the Titanic, the Olympic, and the Britannic, each one of these ships was held together by 3 million rivets. 3 times 3 is 9. 9 million rivets, not little tiny rivets, but large rivets. And you have to remember, this was in 1912, leading up to 1912, actually, 1910, 1911. So those rivets were hammered. They were hammered rivets. That's what held these ships together. The rivets were installed by hand. They were heated by hand. And to a specific temperature, it was actually a sort of a work of art, and they were hammered a specific number of blows to mushroom them out to seal tightly the joints in the steel structure of these mighty ships. But there was a shortage of rivets. There was not only a shortage of rivets, but there was a shortage of manpower. But there were deadlines to be met. Lord William Perry was the chairman of the Harlan and Wolf, and along with the directors, or the owners, if you would, of the ship, and along with his panicking board of directors, they made an executive decision to hire inexperienced men to perform the task of using inferior rivets to put the Titanic together. So with the magnitude of these combined projects looming, the deadlines of the shipbuilders, another compromising decision after another is made to use inferior rivets and unqualified men to make the Titanic's hull. Foundries that manufactured the rivets were not certified. They were not qualified to make the rivets. It has been discovered that the rivets actually were of a substandard alloy, quote unquote. The bad part about it is, those rivets is a known fact. Those rivets were actually used in the stern of the ship. The part of the ship that made contact with an iceberg that was 5 times its size. So scientists and naval experts have come to a conclusion, or one of their theories is, that even if the Titanic had collided with that iceberg, even if it had suffered damage, had there been materials and workmanship that were up to standard used, that there would have been ample time to have got rescue ships dispatched and rescued everyone off the Titanic, and no one would have perished. Wow. That would be pretty weighty if you were some of those board of directors, wouldn't it? Or if you were Pierre that made that decision, that perhaps you could avoid it altogether, or the accident, or perhaps you could have save the lives of those 1,500 people that drowned in the icy waters of the Atlantic. I want to preach to you for a few minutes in the backdrop of all this, but I want us to first go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, and reading the first 8 verses, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Psalms 119, verses 1 through 8. Joyful are people of integrity. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all of their hearts. They do not compromise with evil and they walk only in His paths. You have charged us to keep Your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect Your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with Your commands. As I learn Your righteous regulations, I will thank You by living as I should. I will obey Your decrees. Please don't give up on me. I want to preach to you for the next few minutes with the thought in mind, the cost of compromise. The cost of compromise. So I think you get my point of the illustration maybe already. Perhaps lives would have been saved. Many lives would have been saved had it not been for the compromise of the rivets, the parts that held the ship together. Perhaps lives could have been saved if there had been the workmanship that were the workers that were qualified to put the massive hull of the Titanic together. And I think about us as believers. And I thought about how that we are, if you would, we're putting something together. We're on a journey. We're on a voyage. We're not traveling across the Atlantic or the Pacific, but we are traveling across this sea of life, as we call it. And as we go on this journey, there are building blocks that we're given along the way. There's things that we're being given along the way that help us make this journey, that are critical to us making this journey. And I'm of the notion that you and I can't afford to compromise. Why can't we compromise? Very simple. Because compromise comes with a cost. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is the eternal life. So compromise comes with a cost, no matter what it is. But I'm even speaking to, or I'm more so speaking to our spiritual walk with the Lord this morning. Here's the problem with compromise. Compromise begets compromise. Now, I'm probably gonna insult somebody this morning. But somebody passed us, not intentionally, mind you. Somebody passed us the other day and they had on their back window of their car, "I'm a proud doggy grandparent." No, you're not. You didn't have a dog. People beget people. Dogs beget dogs. Cats beget cats. You get my drift? Cows beget cows. But compromise begets compromise. When we begin to compromise, just like they did in building this massive ship, when they begin to compromise in one thing, they begin to compromise in another thing. And God only knows what else may have been compromised before they ever broke the gate open and let that vessel roll out to sea. Compromise will beget compromise, and compromise has a cost. One lie demands another lie. I read something the other day. It was concerning the election, not on any particular side, mind you, and it was concerning politicians. And it said, you never have to worry about telling another lie if you don't tell the first lie. Compromise begets compromise. One lie births another lie. If we lower our standards for one thing or one circumstance or one person or whatever the case may be, then we need to anticipate that we're going to have to make that choice yet again. Because compromise has a cost. And compromise begets compromise. The specific wisdom of the scripture concerning compromise we can find in in Proverbs chapter 6 in verses 27 and 28. There we find Solomon is addressing promiscuous sexual affairs, and he says, "Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can he walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared?" We need not think that we can give over to compromise and it not affect us. Because it is going to affect us. Not only is it going to affect you, but it's going to affect everyone else that surrounds you. Compromise. Compromise. We're not on an island alone. And it's going to affect you as well as everybody around you. So we find that compromise has a cost. Compromise begets compromise. And compromise has, if you would, it ricochets and it bounces off into the lives of other people. Paul wrote in two different letters a little statement about baking bread. Paul said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, for a number of years, I took a hobby of mine, and I took my hobby of cars and in particular body work, and I ran my own shop for about 10 years, and I painted a few cars, and I painted a whole lot of cars actually, and changed some fenders and bolted on parts. But there is one secret that every good body man needs to know, and it's called Bondo. Does anybody know what Bondo is in the house? Even you ladies know what Bondo is in the house. Let me tell you something. There is a secret to Bondo, and I hired a guy to work for me for a while, and he didn't understand the secret of Bondo. When you buy a gallon of Bondo, you get this big old gallon of this. Most of the time it's sort of off-white. Sometimes it can be sort of greenish, but it looks really yummy. It looks like a big old bowl of pudding or something. It's this white creamy stuff, and then you get that gallon jug of that, and then you get this little tube about this long. And you get you out some of that creamy stuff, and then you put it on you. I always use cardboard, you know, myself. And you put it on there, and you squirt you a little bit of that hardener in that little tube. You squirt just a little bit in there, and then you stir it up, and you got about 5 minutes or so to get that stuff spread out before it sets up and gets hard. Okay? Not rocket science. You know, if it was, I probably never would have been able to have done it. But I hired this guy. Apparently, he didn't understand the principles of Bondo. He squirts the tube out in the can. How long does it take to set up, Bob? Not long. Not long. A whole can, back then you could buy it for about $24 a can. I don't have a clue what it costs now. Probably very expensive. But he put just a little bit in it, not intending for the whole can to set up, but it set up the entire can. You see, it spread. Compromise will spread through our life. Well, we compromise just a little bit here. We think, oh, that's okay. We can get by with that. But then the compromise spreads throughout every fiber, every ounce of who we are. And they call it activator is actually the real name. And before long, we find compromise has been activated in our life. Compromising occurs, and I've qualified this into three areas. Compromise occurs in people and in things and in personal values. We compromise in relationships with people. We compromise in connecting with things. And that doesn't necessarily mean we have to buy them. And we compromise in personal values, which actually is at the root of the other two. The biggest misconception of compromise is I'm not hurting anyone but myself. Don't ever think that's true. Don't ever think that you're not hurting anyone but yourself. To think that I'm not hurting anyone but myself is one of the most carnal, and I'm speaking to the believers in the house right now, to think that you are making a decision that's not hurting anybody but yourself is some of the most carnal thinking that you can ever, that you could, you or I could ever have. When we compromise. Listen, compromising destroys church congregations. Compromising destroys families. Compromising destroys marriages. Compromising destroys circumstances on your job. You say, but sometimes, preacher, we just gotta get along together. That's not what I'm talking about, people. What I'm talking about is the issues of life, the spiritual issues and the moral issues of life. Compromising will cost us everything, can cost us everything we have. Compromising on that great ship that sailed off the coast of the UK, compromising within 4 days cost over 1,500 people their life. It cost the shipping company millions of dollars. It costs more than anybody was probably willing to even think about. But the compromise didn't seem like it was much when you were just thinking about those little old rivets. Well, what's a little old rivet worth? Back then, it probably wasn't worth a whole lot. Still, probably not worth a whole lot. Compromise probably wasn't considered when you hired some guy off the street that didn't know nothing about metallurgy, he was not skilled in the profession, in the trade, and you got a guy that isn't qualified, and he's up there putting some of those 3 million rivets in and heating them and hammering them out. Nobody ever gave consideration to what the cost of compromise was going to be until the breakdown occurred. You see, that's us. Many times we don't consider what the cost of compromising will be until everything begins to break apart. You know, the sad thing about it is, and listen, I'm not preaching, I preach nothing this morning to you, I bring you nothing but mercy and grace. And God is a God of mercy and grace through and by Jesus Christ. But I want to say this to you. Once that ship was released from the dock, there was nothing, absolutely nothing could be done about the compromise that had taken place. Not a thing could be done to correct it. Nobody could call it back and say, oh, we're going to do a recall. Don't you just love all these recalls on our vehicles now? You know, don't you just love all that? You know, probably some of the recalls that we have on our vehicles is probably because some decision was made by an engineer or somebody along the assembly line that probably compromised something here or there. Thought, well, we'll cut this corner, or we'll avoid this, or we'll avoid that cost, or we'll substitute this or that. I worked in manufacturing for 21 years. I know how it goes. We do whatever we need to do to get it out the back door because we need the money. And compromise put a ship at sea that was not seaworthy. Compromise cost over 1,500 lives that was unnecessary. Compromise cost 52,000 tons of steel to be buried two miles deep in the ocean. See, compromise comes with a cost. When compromise occurs in our life, it likewise comes with a cost. Don't ever think that your compromise will not hurt anybody but yourself, because that is a selfish thought, because each one of us are intertwined with other people. You know, sometimes we live our lives with the thought in mind that And I wonder if Adam and Eve didn't have that same kind of thought. Y'all know who Adam and Eve is, right? You know, we call it an apple, and it more likely it probably wasn't an apple. Many scholars believe it was probably an apricot. I don't know what it was, okay? It could have been a plum. It could have been an apple. It could have been a Bartlett pear. But whatever the fruit was, the one thing is for sure, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of that fruit. But when they did, I just wonder, and none of us can really know, so I'm just merely speculating now. Can you give me opportunity to speculate just a little bit? I just wonder if Adam thought, well, I can just have one bite of it and see what it's like. I could just take one little bite and I'm not gonna hurt anybody. I'm not gonna hurt anything. Well, if I fall over dead, and that couldn't really be true because they didn't even know what death was at that point. If I fall over dead, I've not hurt anybody but myself. But the compromise brought sin and destruction into the world. The compromise sunk the ship. The compromise caused the ship to break apart. The rivets were inferior. The workers, were unskilled and possessed no metallurgical skills at all. And it caused the ship to sink. The compromises that you and I make in life can cause us to sink as well. And wouldn't it have been horrible enough just to have lost this ship, the unsinkable ship? Wouldn't it have been horrible enough just to lost a 52,000 tons of steel and it sunk to the bottom of the ocean? Wouldn't that have been bad enough in itself? Wouldn't that have been a financial disaster? Wouldn't that have been horrible? Wouldn't that have made the shipping company the laughing stock of the world? But understand, the ship didn't go down alone. The ship took people with it. This may be the shortest message you've ever heard me preach. John, if you will go back. I want to get a song. Let's do a song. I don't ask the band can come on back up with Pam and we'll do a song. But I want you to know this morning. You may think, I'm not here to point fingers. I'm not here to press anybody down. But you may think the compromises in your life is affecting nobody but you. But you're dead wrong. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because when your ship sinks, you're taking somebody with you. You're taking somebody with you. You say, well, what difference does a little rivet make? Well, if you could ask that question, ask some of those 1,500 people that drowned in the cold waters of the North Atlantic. Ask them what difference a little rivet would make. What difference does it make if we hire an unqualified guy to install the rivets and to hammer them out? What difference does that make if the guy's qualified or not? Ask one of those 1,500 plus people that drowned in the Isaac North Atlantic. It makes all the difference in the world. And the decisions that you and I make in our lives may go well beyond yours or my reach. You know, sad thing about the Titanic? There was not any do-overs. It's still laying at the bottom of the ocean. And people are seeking to find. You remember a few years ago, some guy tried to get there in that homemade submarine and it imploded? People are still trying to get there. They're still wanting to see. They're wanting to know the mysteries of the Titanic. I even heard the swimming pools are still full of water. Some of y'all got that. Some of y'all got it. Some of you didn't. We want to know the mysteries of the Titanic. People are looking at that, but it has never been retrieved. What I'm saying to you is this. There has not been any do-overs for the Titanic. There's been other ships built. There's been other ships that have sailed. And many of them much larger, much, much larger than the Titanic. In fact, compared to one of the modern cruise ships, the Titanic was a very small vessel. But there's not been any do-overs for the Titanic. But here's the good thing about us. When we have used inferior rivets in our lives, when we have made decisions for unqualified people to work in assembly, you know what I'm saying? When we have made those compromises in our life, and certainly there may be some ramifications, there may be some things that are never going to change in our life, but I've got good news for you. There is mercy and grace that comes from the throne of God through the man Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ we have opportunities to do over and to sail our ship one more time and let it leave the dock and let it go forward into the purpose it was called. The Titanic never got to New York City, and it never will. There was not a second chance. But I want you to know this, through and by Jesus Christ, there is a way. There is a way for you to make your journey in spite of all the compromise, in spite of all the decisions that you have made in life. There's mercy and grace to help you through. So this morning, we've all probably made compromises in our life at some point, sometime, at some level, in some degree. Okay? For those of us that have done those things, there's forgiveness. There's mercy. And there's grace. Some things we can't do over. Okay? It just is what it is. Okay? There's some things that we can't do over. But yet God allows us through His mercy and grace to pick up the pieces, and He sets our feet back on the righteous pathway, and we go forward. Okay? In this room this morning, from you to right here, me on self, every single one of us, we have decisions ahead of us. Some of them are more critical seemingly than others. But even in the same things that are insignificant, let me let you know this. There is no room for compromise. Don't compromise what God has given you. Don't compromise your convictions. Don't compromise the Word of God. Don't compromise what you have been taught, assuming you have been taught and you have been learned properly in the Word of God. Don't you give up on it. Don't you shun it. But you continue to walk that righteous pathway. Not self-righteous, but the righteous pathway that's found in Jesus Christ. And don't, in fact, I find this in Scripture, paraphrasing it, of course, don't look to the right or don't look to the left. But stay on the pathway wherein you have been called and appointed to walk. And don't compromise your faith. Don't compromise your salvation. Don't compromise your convictions for anything, anybody, or whatever else you can name. Do not compromise. Because compromise sunk a mighty big ship. And compromise can sink you or me. Even if we don't think so at the time. Because I can promise you, they weren't thinking about an iceberg when they used those rivets and they used those unqualified workers. They weren't thinking about colliding with an iceberg that was 5 times larger than the U.S. Titanic. They weren't thinking about that at all. They were just thinking about, I need to do what I need to do in the moment. Don't ever let the moment control you. I hadn't planned on saying that. You can take that as a word if you want to. But don't ever let your moment control you. control you. So Lord, forgive us for our compromises. And Lord, help us not to compromise as we finish this journey. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. The heads bowed and the eyes closed in this place today. Let me tell you, every one of us in this room has compromised something at some point, at some time in our lives. In doing so, many times there has been, probably most times, there have been some kind of ramifications. There have been some type of price, if you would, to pay. But as I've already said, there's forgiveness for that. There's mercy for that. So if you're here this morning and there's been compromises in your life, compromises in your faith, compromises in your relationship, compromises in your morality, compromises in any way in your life, there's forgiveness. Don't let the enemy lie you and tell you that you can't be forgiven. Because the Titanic didn't get a do-over. It didn't get a makeover. But listen to me. Through Jesus Christ, all the old things pass away. And everything becomes new. There's a makeover for you through Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, or maybe you have wandered far away from the fold, you've left the other sheep, I want to ask you this question right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you need to be saved this morning, or if you wandered away and you need to rededicate your life, I want you to slip up your hand for me right now, real quick. Real quick. Anybody in this room, real quick. Preacher, I need to be saved. I wandered away. I need to return home today. I'm a prodigal. Anybody in this room? Think about that everybody in this room is good and you're well. But here's the thing, I want you to look at me right now. This morning, this is the direction I feel the urgency in this room. I need you all to be aware that we can't afford to compromise. I don't usually do this. This is not something I do lightly and I take lightly. But this morning, I feel an urgency in my spirit that there is decision making in some of your lives. And in that decision making, there is a choice to stick to your guns, as we say, or to make compromise. I want to say to you, don't compromise. Do not compromise your convictions. Do not compromise your God-given values. Do not compromise the Word of God, but allow God to work in you. If you're struggling this morning, I want to give you the opportunity right now to come pray. Some folks come up here, some of our people come up and pray with Kevin and Anna this morning. And if there's anybody else this morning, if you're struggling with some things, there's some decisions ahead of you, we want to pray with you as well. Come on, we need some people to come up and pray. Come up and pray. If it was you, would you want somebody to pray for you and with you?